Right? Our deliverance from the power of sin came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Well, I don't have much sin. Well, you got enough. You know, you may not have much, but you've got enough to where you will never be able to stand in the presence of God without the blood of Jesus Christ having been shed for you. You receive His sacrifice, and then you are born again. You're born into the kingdom of God. Over in the first chapter of John, love it. You know, he's talking about John the Baptist. You know, a guy came, you know, a guy came in a camel coat, you know, baptizing people. But he's talking about, when John is talking about Jesus, he says that he, to as many as received Him, this is Jesus, as many as received Him gave He the power to become the sons of God. So I'm going to believe that promise. I'm going to receive Him. As many as received Him. Hopefully all of y'all have done that. You've received Him by faith, His death, burial, and resurrection for you, that you might become one of the son, a son of God. Girls, you can become a son of God. It's awesome. And to as many as received Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God, even as many as believed on His name. How do you get there? Believe on His name. The name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen? So come into the kingdom today, please. Amen? There's plenty of room. God's got a lot of room for you to come into the kingdom today. These guys all snuck up on me today. And, I had an inkling Luke and Audrey were going to be here, but then now, you know, Jack and Esther, Esther's this morning. So I said, what are y'all doing today? It's for me to know and you to find out. Well, that's a dead giveaway, isn't it? Yeah. Now, Robin and Jordan, they did a real fine job. They just said, well, God bless you. Have a great Easter Sunday. Great Resurrection Sunday. And here they all come plowing in here, prating on the front row. And then they got those girls, to testify. I can't even talk about that. I better not even go there. So powerful. Amen? So blessed. Praise the Lord. And Susie, my other daughter. Amen. 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 Now this is Luke chapter 24. Upon the first day of the week, this is going to be some reading, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Amen. He is risen. Come on. You know, Monty's an evangelist. I think he found that out. I mean, he might have suspected it, but he found that out. I mean, it's just, you know, whenever he opens his mouth, people get saved. It's pretty powerful. Amen. So this is the resurrection of Jesus. And then I'm going to skip down a little bit. Jeff talked about Peter and John running to the tomb. Look down at verse 13 of chapter 24. And behold, two of the disciples, that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Y'all have walked a few furlongs in your time, haven't you? Yeah. How far is that? 7 miles. Thank you very much. Somebody who studied it. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus, remember He was risen, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, blinded, that they should not know Him. And He said to them, what manner of communication are these that you have with one another, and as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, well, I don't remember that disciple, do you? Cleopas, answering Him, said, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said to them, what things? Boy, Jesus is fun, isn't he? He's going, no, tell me about it. Tell me about your problems. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been him which would have redeemed Israel. And all this, beside this, is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company also made us astonished, which were early at the tomb, when they found not his body. And they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. So it's starting to get dusk, starting to get dark. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, while he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Well, now he starts doing that kind of stuff. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour. Well, of course, now it's dark. You know, I mean, they came in, it was getting dark, and they went in and had dinner, you know, and then Jesus did that. And all of a sudden, so that usually in those days, you would kind of try to stay off the road at night. But here's 7 miles. They run back 7 miles to Jerusalem. And he said, they rose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. There's more than the 11. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. So they come huffing and puffing 7 miles. And Jesus just, same as he vanished from them, he just appeared among them in that room. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be to you. Well, that's what you would want somebody to say if they did what he just showed up in that room. And you'd been dead. But he shows up in the room and says, peace be to you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do the thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See. Handle me. So Jesus could be touched. Some of the early church heresies teach that Jesus was just, he was really never here. He was just a phantom, just an image. But no, he says, touch my hands. Jesus, you can touch him. You can have fellowship with him. Handle me and see. A spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. I want you to flip over. I'm going to flip over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. See, your Bible wants to read itself in a service like this. Amen. Chapter 20, listen to verse 19. Let's see here. How much do I want to repeat? Okay, in verse 19, of chapter John chapter 20, right about this same portion of things happening. Then the same day at evening, okay, so remember that this is the same day that Jesus was risen from the dead, that he walked with them to Emmaus. He shows up there in Jerusalem back with the 11, and here in John's rendition of these things, he says, the same day, first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his feet, his side, just like he did back in Luke. And then he said again to them, peace be to you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. So he got them calmed down a little bit. And then he's going to begin to speak to them. He's going to begin to share some things with them. And he says, as he begins his word message, peace be to you. The first time you heard it, you were like trying to just figure out what was going on. The second time he says it, he's got your attention. He is speaking directly to you. Here's what Jesus is saying. Peace be to you. Whatever's going on today, whatever you thought that you were going to get when you came to Easter morning service, you're going to get peace right now. Just receive that right now. Peace. This is Jesus. Peace be to you. Whatever's going on. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this wasn't the day of Pentecost. This is the day he raised from the dead. Jesus didn't waste any time. The day that he was raised from the dead, he came and met with his disciples, and he breathed on them. And the word pneuma in Greek means spirit. It also means breath, but it's the word translated spirit in the New Testament. But it also means breath or breathing. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So the very night, the very day that Jesus rose from the dead, he imparted the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you know, well, he just meant he was looking forward 50 days to Pentecost. No. I don't believe that's what this is teaching here. I mean, you could argue with me if you want to. You'd be wrong. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23 says, whosoever sins you remit or forgive, they are forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, that's a lot of power to have immediately in that moment. And it's what forgiveness or retention has to do with somebody's testimony of believing in the Lord Jesus as dead and raised, buried and raised from the dead, that they might receive his forgiveness. Just like we read back in John chapter 1, right? As many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even as many as believed on his name. So right here, that power to forgive is based on your testimony. It's not based on any works that you do. It's not based on whether you messed up today or last night or last year or, you know, whatever you've done. To repent or to change your mind and say, you know what, as Jeff was talking about, this is not, you know, this is just not the way I ought to be going, I think. Whether it's because of direct experience or that the Holy Spirit revealed to you something through maybe that Jeff testified or something that Shiloh testified, that you're going through something that God is showing you that He's going to take care of you even through it. I mean, how many of you are over 21? You know, not Brenna. So, you've gone through a few things. And a few things were not comfortable. And a few things were not as you expected. But hearing the voice of the Lord, knowing that He is going to bring you through anything that may come your way. Everything that comes your way, God has made a way for you to walk through it with joy. And it first of all starts with joy. It's not the fact that the thing got done, got fixed, but it's the thing that you decided that God made a promise. We watched a movie last night. When your son-in-law wants to watch a Jesus movie, that's pretty cool. And so Jack says, let's watch, what was the name of that movie? His Only Son, it's done by the Angel Productions, the Chosen People. Sir. I'm not gonna follow that up, just you know what I mean. And so this movie is about, you know, it's about Abraham and Isaac, all right? And then of course at the end of it it references back to Jesus, the three crosses, and Jesus on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he gave his only Son. Jesus gave his only Son. Amen? And so that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for you. Okay. So now, but then Thomas wasn't there. But Thomas got in on it. You know, it was interesting that Thomas wasn't there. And so later on, Thomas shows up. Well, they didn't like kick him out, you know, for not being there. Yeah, they let Thomas come on in, right? So as Thomas comes in, there's an interesting correlation to that, is that over in Numbers chapter 11, when Moses was given a command by God to bring in 70 guys to help him rule and to kind of administrate, that the Lord said he was going to put, this is Numbers 11, I won't go there, but Numbers chapter 11, verses 26 and 27, is that he gave his spirit upon those 70 so that they had the authority and the wisdom of God to judge the tribes of Israel. And there was two guys, and he brought all the 70 guys down to the tabernacle, down to the tent of meeting where Moses meets with God. You look at that back in Exodus chapter 33. And so he's down there with those 70 minus 2. Because Elad and Medad, is that what are the guys' names? Eldad and Medad. My dad and your dad. They were not there. They were back at the camp. And see, when they came, the Spirit of God came upon the 68. But these two guys were part of the ones that were on the list. He actually says that. These were on the list. And so somebody had observed, and there was a young man that came running up to the tabernacle and says, "Hey, Eldad and Medad are prophesying." Because these other guys, these 68, were prophesying up there by the temple, by the tabernacle. And so Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying down in the camp. And they said, "Hey, whoa, you're not doing this right. You guys were not with the other guys." So like Thomas wasn't with the 12, with the 11. And so Eldad and Medad, he said, "No, leave them alone." It's like Jesus when he said, you know, "Hey, some people over here praying for people to be healed in the name of Jesus." And Jesus said, "Shall we stop them?" Jesus said, "No, let them alone. Let them go. Let them. If they're, he that is not against us is for us." So the Holy Spirit will come on those who have believed and who have received, as many as received him. Gave he the power to become the sons of God. So I want you to confirm in your own heart, I have received him. Amen? I have received Jesus. I am born from above. The living God reigns and rules on the inside of me. And I have total peace and confidence that whatever he promised, he is going to perform. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of me. He may not do it the way that I think he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. He's going to take care of it. I have total peace and total joy. I don't know what's going to happen next. Amen? You know, I didn't know my grandkids were going to be the grandkids I've got. You don't either. Well, you don't know what your kids are going to end up doing. You don't know what God is going to end up doing. I thank God for Luke. I mean, you know, he was in trouble. And then God got him out of trouble. Best of all, gave him a beautiful wife and a beautiful baby. Wow, praise the Lord. Jordan, ah, gosh, how'd you get this girl?
I still don't know.
Yeah, we talk about it. We don't know. She doesn't know either. So praise the Lord. And if Grace wasn't in Scottsdale, if Grace wasn't in Scottsdale, she'd be here too, right? Y'all talk to her? No. She wishes she could be here. Okay. Well, that's good. That's precious. Amen. All right, now look here. I'm going to skip that part. Because there's a lot here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look over at Acts chapter 1. So again, back to the fact that Jesus breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. I believe that night those disciples were born again. Now, let's look here at Acts chapter 1. Everybody there? You got a Bible? Bring your Bible. I know you got it on your phone. Just don't be reading Facebook while you're on your phone. Yeah, it's always good to have a Bible because your phone will distract you. Anybody know that? You know, you kind of get way off over something else, some deal on Amazon. All right. So he says here in Acts chapter 1, I better start from the beginning. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, this is Luke writing, of all the things that Jesus both began to do and teach. Began to do, I love that. He began to do. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to his apostles whom he had chosen. You remember those guys? This is before Pentecost. And you remember those guys that he breathed on them and received the Holy Ghost? He had given them commandments through the Holy Ghost. So they already had the Holy Ghost in a measure. To the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, death, burial, and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay, so he showed himself alive, many infallible proofs, and was seen of them 40 days. What was he doing? Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now over in, we'll look at this in a minute, over in John chapters 14, 15, and 60. John 14, 15, and 60. He began to teach them about the Holy Spirit. They had heard a little bit of, you know, what Jesus was talking about during Jesus' ministry. But then he was coming, that was the night before his crucifixion. Oh, by the way, I'm going to send this Holy Ghost. What? Who? I'm going to send this Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you another comforter. It's like finding out your babysitter's not coming and you're sending another one. You know, you didn't know when this one was coming and who this was. Who in the world are you talking about? Who's this other comforter? Does he wear the same clothes as you do? How will we recognize him? But see, these 40 days from the time that Jesus was raised and that night, the night of the resurrection, breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit that night. He said, receive ye. Well, if Jesus says receive, if you believe already what he's been saying, I think you're going to receive it. Amen? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. No, I don't think I want to do that. No, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So they've received the Holy Ghost. In the next 40 days, he speaks to them concerning the things about the kingdom of heaven. They didn't have this understanding before. They could not receive. Earlier, Jesus had said to them, we're going to read it in a minute, is that there are many things I want to share with you, and this is at the dinner table back the night before, but you cannot bear them now. There are many things I want to share with you, but the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will lead you into all truth. Well, that happened about 3 days later. Amen. It started about 3 days later, is that He began to teach them about things concerning the kingdom of heaven, which they began to get it. And that's why when Peter and Paul went by the gate beautiful, and they were able to reach down and look at that guy, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he was over here in the day of Pentecost when Peter began to preach the gospel, and 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God that day. Amen. Said, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. He's still here. He hadn't quit. Amen. We just quit believing that He's here. We just quit believing that He's available. Amen. We just, you know, we have a bunch of cessationists, you know, people who believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit no longer exist in the church. You know, well, we have a Bible, so we don't need the power of God anymore. No, that's not true. Amen. I mean, they had the whole Old Testament. My gosh. That's a lot bigger than the New Testament. They didn't even have these books yet. The books of the New Testament were written over the next 100 years to describe what the church looks like going forward. But they did not replace the power of God of healing and deliverance. Everybody needs it. They need it today. Do we have sickness today, or is sickness over? Do we need deliverance from demonic oppression and demonic spirits today? More than ever. Amen. I mean, who's running this show these days? I mean, you know, we've got all this, folks, because the people have denied the Holy Ghost, denied the living God, because they're living their own lives. They're living for what they want. How many know today is National Transgender Day of Visibility? Amen. I mean, even if it wasn't, Resurrection Sunday, why don't you just not announce it this year? But no, the White House is announcing that March 31st is against God Day. Seriously. Amen? Amen. You know, how many know God made, are we on Facebook? Good. How many know God made them male and female? Not 87 genders, just two. That's the only kind that works, just two. Amen. Amen. If you have a one and a one, that doesn't work. You'd have to have a one and a two. You know, that's the only thing that works. The way God designed it is the only way it works. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, God's good there. He's happy with that. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the way, Pentecost Sunday is May 19th. That's my 45th anniversary. Hallelujah. That's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day to have the day of Pentecost this year. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What happens is you make too many notes. John 6:63 says that it's the Spirit that gives life. And the words that I speak unto you, Jesus, remember He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let's look at John chapter 14, 15 and 16, and we'll be done after that. John 14, verse 16, the Father will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Now, that's the first instance that he had talked about it, you know, in some messages, in some discussions with them before. But this is the apostles at the dinner table, at the hearing Jesus talk about, okay, you know, tonight I'm going to kind of give you some information that you need to know. I mean, He's been talking about the fact that He is going to be crucified, and that He's going to be killed. I mean, all through the book of John, He's been talking about that. But here He says, in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He, the comforter, may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. Now you got your, if you get your pen, write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Write that one down. Okay? The world cannot receive Him. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Okay, John 15, and one page over maybe. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Some people try to divide that up and say the Holy Spirit, you know, was... that's the reason, you know, that's the reason the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church split, right? It's because they couldn't agree whether the Holy Spirit was proceeded from the Father and the Son or just the Son. So you split the church over that. Don't do that. Because the Scripture said, when He has come, I will send to you whom I will send, the Comforter, from the Father. I will send Him from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, and He shall testify of Me. But see, okay, He proceeds, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, but who's going to send Him? Jesus. And you shall bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. Okay? John 16, verse 7. Hope you're with me. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. It's advisable. It's important. It's the best course of action for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And then look down at verse 12. There's more I could read there, but that's another message. Verse 12 says, listen, this is exactly what He was doing there in Acts chapter 1 when He began to teach them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And He says here in verse 12, what I mentioned before, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine. So the Holy Spirit receives from Jesus, and He'll show it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. So as the disciples are over the next 40 days now hearing of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, they're receiving the wisdom of God to be able to teach the church. Well, listen, when you become born again today, you receive that Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You receive the understanding of the wisdom of God on the inside of you. Amen? Then He said, further in Acts chapter 1, He said, but you shall receive power. Do not leave Jerusalem, because you shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So they received the Holy Spirit for salvation and wisdom and understanding the night that Jesus was born, was raised from the dead. But then He's teaching them for 40 days. Then He says, when He ascends, as we read in the Creed today, He ascends, and then 10 days later, how do we know it was 10 days? How do we know it was? Because He had 40 days of teaching, right? And then Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Passover is when Jesus was crucified. He was risen again. 40 days after that, He was teaching. Then to make the 50 days, which will be May 19th this year, is another 10 days. So 10 days later, during that period, they were praying in the upper room, praying together, worshiping together. And because Jesus said, don't leave town until you be endued with power. Don't leave town without it. It's like the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. So He's got that. So on the Pentecost Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit comes. And we'll talk about that then. But that power came. So he said, don't leave without the power. But I'm so excited that the night that Jesus was raised from the dead, that the Holy Spirit was given and indwelt his disciples, and they began hearing and learning about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, if you become born again, God will begin to speak to you today. If you receive Jesus today, you're going to begin to hear from God. If you have never been born again, you need to be born again today. As many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for those who have received you. But we thank you today even the more for those who will receive you today, or will receive you because of the testimony of these sitting here today. That today, when you receive the Lord by believing in him, believe on his name of the only begotten Son of God, who forgave your sins by his death, burial, and resurrection, that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you today. So, Father, we love you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. The Holy Spirit has now been given for power. Somebody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit for power to walk in the power and the ministry of the Lord. You can receive it today. We thank you for anybody who has any kind of a disease or any kind of financial need, any kind of need in this world. Father, we thank you for meeting those needs today. Come on down and let's pray for whatever that is. Come today. And we'll pray and see the Holy Spirit move. Abraham waited many years between times that you spoke to him. Today you speak to us daily, through your word, by the Holy Spirit. It's not just words on a page. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through those words in the Scripture to me and to those sitting here, to give them wisdom, to give them understanding, to show them things to come, to cause them to have peace. And we give you praise and glory and honor for all of these things. We celebrate today.